This is the CPC Podcast, episode 25 for January 13th, 2019, Passionate Pursuit. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. In church news this week, the Super Bowl of Caring will take place on February 3rd. We'll be accepting monetary donations, and donations of canned goods will also be accepted. Donations collected will be used to support the work of Neighbor to Neighbor of Pine Bluff. Here's your weekly reminder that we're all over social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just look for the username CentralPresPB. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and turn it over to Reverend Tim Reeves.
Presbyterian minister Tim Keller once noted that Christianity is unique among all the world's religions because Christianity is about God's pursuit of us, to draw us to himself. But in every other religious system, people pursue their God, hoping that either through good behavior or the appropriate keeping of certain rituals or by doing good works or other efforts, they will be accepted by the God they pursue. But not so for Christianity. Because ultimately, ours is a faith that, despite the question so many of us are wont to ask, have you found Jesus, isn't about us finding him at all, but rather about the glorious announcement that God in Christ not only comes looking for each one of us, but indeed finds us. God passionately pursues us. And I think that is beautifully reflected in the words of the British poet Francis Thompson in his work entitled The Hound of Heaven, when he writes that for most of his life he fled from God, but he couldn't outrun those strong feet that followed with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace. We can run, but we cannot hide. God passionately pursues us. Perhaps that's why Paul, in his letter to the church in Galatia, reminded us that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law. God came looking for us. And because God passionately pursues us, we must know or be aware what that means. Sometimes God passionately pursues us in order to correct our course in life, to make us repent, to move us in the right direction once we have gotten off track. Sometimes it may feel as if God is angry or full of wrath. Other times it may feel like divine rescue and redemption. But what we need to remember is that whether it is God's wrath or God's mercy, the eyes of faith recognize that the presence of God is one who wills only to love us and to be loved in return. And I think this morning's scripture readings are a fantastic illustration of that truth. Now, before we dive into the 43rd chapter of Isaiah, I think it's important that we know a little bit about what has gone on in the previous chapter. Beginning with the 24th verse in chapter 42, Isaiah says this about the people of Israel and about God. Isaiah says, "Who gave up Jacob to the spoiler and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord against whom we have sinned, in whose ways they would not walk and whose law they would not obey? So he poured upon them the heat of his anger and the fury of war. It set him on fire all around, but he did not understand. It burned him, but he did not take it to heart. The people of Israel have broken their covenantal relationship and responsibilities to God. They have worshiped idols. They have failed to teach the faith to the next generation. And this sad and tragic history of Israel's disobedience has come to a head in the ransacking and destruction of Jerusalem and the hauling off of one-third of the survivors into exile in Babylon. So we might expect, as the 43rd chapter of Isaiah opens, for this diatribe against this faithlessness to continue, for the wrath of God to be echoed even further. But what we get instead are just how words about just how much God loves God's people. Now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. So confident is the prophet that God's assurances will come to pass that he speaks of them as if they already have. I have redeemed you. I've called you by name and you are mine. You belong to me. You are my most prized possession. One commentator notes these words renewed an ancient promise. They hearken back to the time when God had delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And as they were wandering in the wilderness, God covenanted with them, saying, I will be your God, and you will be my people. John Calvin puts it this way: God refuses to be deprived of his rightful possession. God refuses to be deprived of his rightful possession. We have a couple of 3-year-old granddaughters who are very big on telling us on what is theirs and what is not. Everything belongs to them. Mine, mine, mine. And more than a few arguments have been, participated in by both of them when they both reach for the same doll at the same time. But God looks at us and says, mine, mine, mine. God refuses to be deprived of what is rightfully his. But I wonder how often we reflect on that fact that we are God's possession. You see, in this country, we Americans are fiercely proud of and protective of our independence, and rightfully so. We celebrate the individual. We emphasize our personal freedoms. We do not easily bow before others. It's part of what makes the American spirit so great. But the downside to that is that though we confess with our lips that we worship a sovereign God, there are times when we tend to do whatever it is we as individuals or as a nation want to do, and then try to tack on some religious justification to make it sound like we are doing God's will. We fall too easily into the same trap that the ancient Israelites did. Namely, that we are very quick to claim the blessings of God for ourselves. But we want nothing to do with the subjugation of our will to God's will or the inherent obligations and responsibilities that are also part and parcel of those blessings. Remember when God called Abraham and Sarah and said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And I'm going to give you a promised land. Two blessings, right? But there also came a tremendous responsibility. Through you, all the nations of the world would be blessed. I like to say it this way, we are blessed to be a blessing to others. God pursues us so passionately so that in that moment when we have been overtaken by the love of God, we may become vessels to pour out that love to a world so desperately in need of it. God then, in other words, enlists us to pursue others passionately. Now, part of the pursuit of God is that our Lord became flesh and lived among us. And in his baptism, he who was without sin submitted to baptism not to be washed from his sin, but to fully show humanity the lengths and breadths to which God would go to fully identify with us. That's why Paul would write to the church in Rome, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that love. But by the same token, Jesus is the one who said, deny yourself and follow me. That passionate pursuit means that we have to put to death in ourselves all those things that keep us from wanting to hold God at arm's length. Selfishness, self-aggrandizement, self-preservation, self-pity, self-reliance, self-importance. So in that regard, when God passionately pursues us, it can be as terrifying as the words from the 29th Psalm, where David, witnessing the fierce power of a thunderstorm, compares it to the voice of God thundering and ripping up trees and turning all of life upside down. It can feel that way. But I am reminded of something that we all need to be reminded of. God never overturns our lives without good reason. Our lives are upside down because of sin and brokenness, and to overturn our lives means to set us upright. To turn our lives upside down and inside out means to put us back on the path that God intended for us from the dawn of creation. With the coming of Jesus Christ, God said, not only you are mine, but God came and looked for each one of us. We are the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal children who have been welcomed home because our God came looking for us. And the foundations of the world were shaken. All our carefully crafted endeavors to exhibit a persona of independence burst into flames when God reaches out and says, I choose you. You see, God pursues us not only to remind us that we need salvation, but to give us that salvation freely and joyfully and then says, go out and pursue others and tell them that same good news. That God wills only to love us and be loved in return. To God be all the honor, glory, and praise forever.
Thanks again to Reverend Timothy Reeves for the excellent sermon this week. If you enjoyed what you heard today, take a minute to subscribe. We're in the Google Play Store, we're on Apple Podcasts, and we're also on the Stitcher app. And if you have the time, go ahead and leave us a review. It helps people find the podcast. Our theme music is brought to you by Excel Music Publishing, who can be found at www.freemusicpublicdomain.com. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner, and I hope you have a great week. See you next time.